We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Nick Schwert producing the show. Again, as we said yesterday, he's our new producer here on Cody and Gold. I sent out a tweet yesterday. I tried to help the follower count. I don't know, maybe you gained two out of it. I tweeted out your Twitter handle last night. Did you gain a single follower?
Don't sell yourself short. It was about eight or nine new followers.
Okay, all right.
I guess I should probably do that.
Some blue check marks in there,
Cody,
as well.
Cody can give you a bigger boost with his large Twitter following.
What are you waiting for, man?
Yo, how come you got to help him
out? How would you like me to phrase it?
Follow this guy. He's
go
our producer.
Go follow our new...
Pump me up a little bit.
You know, sell you. What's your Twitter vibe?
Like, what should I tell people to...
That's all. See, that's all I need to know.
Guarantee you he gets you more than eight followers than the eight followers that I got. I can promise you his tweet will get you more than eight.
Like I said, though, you got me some blue check marks. That's quality over quantity.
Okay. I like it. I like it. We're approaching 5K. I got to get over the 5K mark. It's a huge, huge milestone. After my Twitter verification was denied, we had fun with that. I don't know if you know that, Nick. I was denied verification.
I kind of hope you get denied again because it'd be funny.
At this point,
it'd be
I think I'm going to just embrace it. Yeah, Ryan. Ryan's over there laughing. Yeah, apparently you have to link to work and podcasts don't count. So I need to have a couple written pieces.
It's been somewhat funny because everyone's been talking about, like, our guy Ron Kopp over at Arrowhead Pride's like, oh, got verified.
Yeah.
Or former 16 employee Brandon Kiley's like, oh, got verified today. Gold's over here. Got denied today.
Yep, this happened.
They decided Gold was not worthy of the blue check mark, and the decisions had.
Part of me is tempted. Do I never apply again? Do I just embrace it? Like, fine.
If you won't
verify me, then that's all right. I don't need your blue check mark.
I feel like that's lying to yourself.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think that's. Come on. It's just it's not that you need it. It's not like it's going to make some huge difference, but it's nice.
One thing I think the Chiefs could have used, though, is someone that signed yesterday with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's Melvin Ingram. He signed a one-year deal with the Steelers, and we were waiting to figure out what the dollar amount would be. Turns out it's a one-year, $4 million deal for the veteran pass rusher who was on the IR a little bit last year, did not have any sacks, battled injury, but he's been in the division in the AFC West and actually had success against Kansas City. And I think it's a mistake for the Chiefs to not sign him unless... they know something we don't about Frank Clark's situation in terms of A, not missing any time, that they have a feeling based on their conversations that he would not miss any time, or that they believe a suspension is going to happen later or it's a small suspension. Because other than that, I look at the dollar amount, and for a pass rusher at a premium position, I understand that he was hurt last year, but $4 million for 1 year, that should be very doable for just about any organization when you consider that you might be without someone like Frank Clark. So I took it two ways. I took it as, hey, all right, Melvin Ingram, who came in for a visit back in March, at that point in time, maybe the dollar amount was too high, and maybe the Chiefs didn't circle back around here recently because they feel like Frank Clark is going to be available in enough games this year that they don't need to spend $4 million to bring in a veteran pass rusher.
I still think it's the money. Like, I just don't think they want to spend that kind of money on any more available free agents. I don't think it has anything to do with the Clark suspension. It'll be, I could be wrong, but I still think he could get suspended at the beginning of the year, and they would have still made the same decision because they made that decision last year when they didn't bring in any extra veteran cornerbacks when we were talking about it when they knew Bashaud Breeland was going to be on the shelf.
Yeah, I would argue they're in worse. Argue they're in worse shape though with the pass rush, and the pass rush is more important here because you're
already
trying to.
Were we saying that going
have...
into last year though? Because people didn't like the secondary going into last year, myself included.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we've talked about the secondary, and I'm just a believer that we have seen time and time again that they've been able to make the secondary work because.
Sure.
As far as I'm concerned, Tyrann Mathieu essentially is another corner on this team. And so that's how I've always viewed that they've been able to mask it. I'm a believer in the plan that Chris Jones can work on the outside as a pass rusher, but we're hoping that works. And then you're banking on Frank Clark not missing significant amount of time. If Frank Clark didn't have the suspension, and right now he still doesn't have a suspension, by the way,
no.
I was not a fan of bringing in Melvin Ingram or Justin Houston 2 months ago. Once we learned that there's these issues that are out there for Frank Clark now, I was like, they need to explore that pass rushing option. And so it's one of three things. It's either what you're saying, which is all along, they just feel good about the personnel for however many games they're going to need it. And they feel that Taco Charlton and Turk Warden, and maybe as we discussed yesterday, the linebackers are going to blitz a little bit more. They'll have athleticism with Nick Bolton and Willie Gay. We know they blitz from the secondary with Legarius Sneed and Tyrann Mathieu. Maybe they're going to have to do that a little bit more. Maybe they feel that they can, with scheme, make up for some of the production that they're going to lose potentially without Frank Clark. I was just surprised when I saw the dollar amount. I know you mentioned finances. 1 year, $4 million to me is not that much. I understand he was out last year, Cody, but a veteran, experienced pass rusher, 1 year, $4 million at a premium position to me is not that much.
It's like going for Clowney, and then we make fun of the Browns for saying Clowney's going to be their saving grace. Ingram's not going to fix it. He had zero sacks last year. And I'm not blind. I understand that last year is more the minority than the majority, which I tend to go with based on like recent evidence. So let's just take a 3 year sample. I'm not going way back. He's not a 10 sack guy anymore. He hasn't been that in 4 years, 5 years. He's not going to be that again at this stage of his career, less likely. He was a 7 sack guy each of the previous 2 years, and he was zero last year. So if he's a 6 sack guy, do I want to pay $4 million to a 6 sack guy who's a rotational defensive end once Frank Clark comes back? I don't. I understand the immediate thought of we need to replace this now because the uncertainty with Frank Clark, but I also think that's gotten the Chiefs in trouble before. I think go back to Tyreek, and when they traded up to get McColl because they were worried about legal stuff, that was a move that didn't need to be made. And they made it, and it got them in trouble a little bit. They might be trying to learn from a history of not overreacting to, you know, and I don't know, obviously, how bad Frank Clark's legal situation is. Amy Dash, who was on The Drive last Friday, certainly didn't make it sound like it wasn't going to be till mid-August, November, or mid-October, November, before you would even find out the actual legal stuff. The question is how quickly the league moves in.
Right.
I think it'd be worse for the Chiefs if Frank Clark got suspended in the middle of the damn season than he did just the first few games of the season. You could just move on. If you could take 4 games now and just know it was over with, I'd take that in a minute.
No question. Yeah, you even know the schedule, the first 5 weeks of the season, you're talking about AFC contenders and the Browns and the Ravens and the Chargers and the Bills. I mean, it's not the ideal part of the schedule, but you also don't want that uncertainty where suddenly October 15th, the NFL announces a suspension, and then you're without him for 6 games on the tail end of your, you know, the back half of the season. That's problematic, or even worse, around the postseason.
And now in the middle of the season, you're trying to get a defensive end up and ready.
100%.
You can spend all of training camp trying to get that person ready to go.
And I don't know this to be a fact, but I would imagine the Chiefs have at least reached out to the NFL to try to gauge kind of where they, timeline wise, maybe not the amount of game, like they probably have a decent feel of where this thing is headed, the Chiefs do, based off of maybe conversations with the league when it comes to amount, or at the very least the timeline. Hey, do they expect a decision before the season on any potential suspension, even if the legal process won't be played out by then? The NFL, we know that in times they've gone ahead and suspended guys before the legal process.
Sure.
There's also plenty of examples where they did wait until the legal process was over.
They seemingly are doing that with Deshaun Watson because they haven't done anything
yet. And
his is
even more complicated because it's civil suits. There's no criminal charges on the Deshaun Watson stuff. And so does the league decide to wait until the earliest? Amy Dash said a plea deal could, even if there is a plea deal, could actually be accepted by and approved by the court would be October. And that's assuming everything happens on time. And if there is even a deal, and that's just for the first March incident, he's not been charged.
Can you push it into next year? And if you're the Chiefs, you might prefer
hell
that.
Yeah. If that thing gets pushed back to 2022.
That's not you problem anymore.
100%. No, that's best case scenario.
He's under contract.
Assuming a suspension is going to happen, if you told me that, it'll be in the off season, and he'll have to worry about it in 2022. Okay, that's Great news, actually, considering the alternative.
Let's talk restructure.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's talk cut. Those are the decisions they're going to be coming to. I don't feel, and I've been very critical about their ability to get to the quarterback. They're not good at it. They've been largely not good at it for years. They've been okay at times. But when we look at, you know, the Steelers, the actual team who signed him, that has been the best pass rush team in the NFL for decades. I think as Nick had pointed out before the show, they've got the number one. They've led the league in sacks for three consecutive seasons. And they see value in Ingram. And I'm not blind to that. We've talked about this before. Like, when you used to look at the Patriots, you're like, well, if they're doing it, are we stupid? It was like when the Dodgers signed Pujols. I'm like, wait, back up. That team's really good. Why are they signing Pujols? And we're just over here joking that that doesn't make any sense. If they're doing it, it makes me change my mind a little bit. Because the Steelers are as good, if not better, than every single team in the NFL at getting to the quarterback. So I'm not blind to that. But they're taking a $4 million risk that he's washed. And there's a big difference between those two teams. The Steelers are trying to maintain being one of the best pass rush teams, but they got a geriatric quarterback and the Chiefs have Mahomes. And I'm not saying Mahomes can cover all the problems, because I don't think that's the case. But I think that's why you don't take that $4 million risk on Ingram. I think I'd just rather wait.
If Frank Clark is suspended at all during this 2021 season, and it's more than a game suspension, I do think you're certainly banking on their own viewpoints on their talent in-house.
Oh, yeah.
That they believe that they can maximize, and every team believes they can do that. But you are rolling the dice a little bit, where you're saying, hey, we can, let's say, for four games, get the same bit of production that Frank Clark can bring to the table with Taco Charlton, with Turk Warden, with whoever. I mean, I know they have the rookie. I'm not counting on him to be able to step in this year. He might long term, but not counting on Kando this year. And then you're banking on the secondary holding up, because we talk all the time about pass rush and secondary. The one way to make your secondary look better, of course, is to get pressure on the quarterback.
Correct.
The one way to make your pass rush at times look better is to have stud corners. Right. And now you're kind of rolling the dice on both of those. And so that's the part that's a little scary. You're correct. Mahomes kind of equals things out. But, you know, I think for a team that is in this window that we talk about all the time, and you're trying to maximize it, and it's clearly win now mode with all the moves this organization continues to make, you know, this is one of those moves. I'm a little surprised that they weren't willing to do it, unless they believe and have some insight that a suspension is going to be minimal, or it may not be in 2021.
Or unless they're going to sign Justin Houston, who I'd rather they sign than Melvin Ingram anyway, but even if he was double the cost.
Just like you just said about the Steelers with them signing Ingram, and it made you think a little bit, like, okay, they signed him. What do they know that we don't know? I will ask you on Justin Houston, what do the Colts know that everybody else said? The Colts, who had a great season with Justin Houston, had a much better season, obviously, than Melvin Ingram did. The Colts, who have plenty of cap space and have a very good general manager that we all know here in Kansas City, and Chris Ballard, they have, to this point, not brought back Justin Houston. So I'm like, in my mind, that's a sign for me where I'm like,
Ballard, you're pretty smart. What's going on?
So I think it works on both ends there.
But that could just be as simple as monetary. We know that.
Perhaps if you're talking about finances and want a cheap option, someone who I think could be added to the rotation for Kansas City is a familiar face, Alex Okafor. I think he's probably $1 million guy this year. He's still a free agent. He's someone that could step in, knows the scheme a little bit, and could help out that rotation with Taco Charlton.
Honestly, I'd rather spend $1.6 million, which I think is the number to get below the comp pick formula. I'd rather spend $1.6 million in Okafor than $4 million in Ingram. I'm just worried Ingram's cooked.
We'll find out. I mean, we're going to, you right. know, that's, you
he
know,
had zero sacks.
You know how this is going to go. We're going to all pay attention to it. If it's the first month of the season, and let's say Frank Clark's out for the first month, and meanwhile, Ingram's over
picked up three sacks.
And I know it's a different scheme. I get it.
And they're very good at getting to the quarterback in that scheme.
But if the Chiefs are struggling to get pressure and Ingram's over there thriving, people are going to be like,
That's always the funniest thing about football. You're like, the Steelers do a different, you know, like their scheme is really good to get to the quarterback. You're like, why don't we just all run this scheme? What do you do? Like, that's how sports are for me. You're like, I don't understand why every team doesn't just run the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive scheme, because it seems to have been working for a very long time. And I understand, because sometimes it's like, well, you don't have nobody can run the Chiefs scheme because you don't have Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey. Good luck. And you don't have Andy Reid to design it. So you can't, you know, make it creatively different on the fly. And that's probably what it is defensively. It's just funny when you look at it that way. Like, well, you know, they're going to better utilize Ingram because of their scheme. You're like, I don't understand why we don't just switch to that one. Spags has been wholly good, obviously, in Kansas City. It's just funny when you look at it from the outside.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we'll get to an alternative that's going to be out there for those of you watching Monday Night Football this year. And I think it's something we're just going to continue to see happening more and more. That's coming up in 8 minutes. But the trade deadline is coming up on the 31st at the end of this month when it comes to baseball. And Alec Lewis over at The Athletic, in his latest report, mentioned that the Royals front office has gotten calls on a name that might surprise some people. But if you look at the season he has had, it actually makes some sense. Nicky Lopez. Now, J.J. Pecola, Royals assistant general manager and vice president, going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk about where things are at in the second half a little bit, mainly about Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado and why now is the right time. Nick Prado, Bobby Witt going to play actually in about 45 minutes or so in their triple-A debut.
He's going to hit a homer today. But, I got a good feeling about Bobby Witt. Just going to hit a home run. We're all going to celebrate.
I hope the first 2 weeks, Bobby Witt and Prado both continue what they're doing in double A and light it up to where 2 weeks from now, we're all like, hey, he doesn't need a month. Let's go. Let's call. And I hope that's the case. Certainly nobody wants them to struggle for a week. But the good news is if they were to struggle for a week, we saw that exact same thing play out in double A where it was when we were down there, he had to get up to speed a little bit. And then he's been dominating since. So we'll talk about Bobby Witt, but Nicky Lopez name coming up when it comes to trade discussions, apparently, at least the front office getting calls on him. The value is certainly about as good as it'll get right now for Nicky Lopez with the year he's having. I think you have to balance as the organization the value of him being this utility player where next year, yeah, he may not have a starting spot heading into opening day, but history has told us that Alberto Mondesi is not going to be available for a large portion of the season. So Nicky Lopez would play significantly next year for this team. I'm a firm believer in that just because of injury history with Mondesi and others. And so that's a valuable asset to have. You're also risking, on the other side, Nicky Lopez, what he's done the first half and the first three games now of the second half of the season. Do you believe that's what he is now? Can he do that the rest of the second half? And can he be that player next year? Because let's not forget, it wasn't very long ago, 3 months ago, where the conversation around Nicky Lopez
was broken.
The guy he did not make the opening day roster until an injury happened. So let's not forget that. And props to Nicky for the year he's having. But that's what you have to weigh. Do you believe what he's done? He's figured it out. Do you believe this is what Nicky Lopez can be for the next 3 years for your organization or 2 years? Or do you think this is kind of a, all right, everything's coming together, let's trade him while we can? That's what they have to decide.
He's 26. This isn't even a knock on Nicky. Nicky is actually a good fit for a playoff contending roster. I understand why people would actually be interested in him. He's been hitting for contact. He doesn't strike out. He gets on base. He'll steal some bases. He plays excellent defense. He has found a really good role for himself. And he has 4 years of control after this one. And even if the kind of player he is, even if you go through arbitration, you're going to be able to pay him the way you pay those utility infielders that the Royals seemingly sign every year. So to be clear, the Royals look for this type of player every year, and they just get the worst version of it. Maybe they get a guy with a little more power, or maybe they get a guy who hits more doubles, but they never, like, they're always missing some key element anyway. So Nicky would be the same thing. He would just be the more defensive-minded. Anytime they sign Hanser Alberto or Alberto Callaspo, I don't care what the name is, you know how many
throwback with
utility infielders the Royals have gone after over the course of time, who sometimes get more playing time than they should. Nicky's kind of perfectly suited for that, and he actually makes sense for the way the Royals handle themselves as an organization. But honest, this is as high as you can trade Nicky Lopez. This is maximum. You cannot get better value for him than you can right now. 4 years of control, he's performing his best, and he plays gold glove defense. You can't do better than you can now. This all goes back to the same thing. It's timeline. Are you going to be good next year? Because if you're not, trade Nicky. And because then you're going to be like, well, you know, you got 4 years of control. I just need him to be good in the next 4 years. No, I'm not doing that game. Not with Nicky Lopez. It'd be different if it was a player that I thought had this huge upside. Nicky is a good player,
well, we're also,
but he's just that. He's a good player. The power is not likely to develop, and that's fine. But he is what he is, and that's where you kind of know where you're stuck.
I mean, he's been a very good number nine hitter, and his skill set that you just outlined there, Cody, is in today's 2021 baseball, he's not going to be someone that's batting second in your order ever. You're just not. Unless suddenly he developed power out of nowhere. Okay,
when and that's Ned Yost came out of retirement.
Fair, right? It's 2021, and 2022 is what you have to look at for Nicky Lopez and what's his value for us in 2022 and 2023. But as well with the timeline, with this is the conversation with all these guys that they have to be having is, are we in position in 2022 or 2023 to win? And is that someone that has to be part of this club, we feel like, for us to win in 2022 or 2023? And let's be honest, Nicky, it's not someone you have to have. It's a nice player to have, but it's not someone that's going to dictate whether or not you're going to have success in 2022. He's just not.
He's not the make or break World Series player. And again, not a knock on Nicky. He's a very good player. I understand why, again, because you're like, well, then why would a team who needs to be in the postseason? Because they need that exact fit. To me, you should be able to, through development, through an eventual trade or whatever, you should be able to find a player that has Nicky's skill set. A super defender who's a little bit light-hitting, or maybe you do the same thing we just talked about. Oh, you gave up a little bit of defense because you get better offense out of your utility player, whatever it's going to be. That player is available in most times. Like, that's where we talk about where it's harder to trade a guy like Witt, because he's harder to replace. He led the league in hits and stolen bases multiple years. Those guys don't just, they're not just available all the time. Guys with 276 with a 360 on base percentage, they're not easy to find, but they're findable. Especially if you're talking about a guy who has no home runs or whatever the ERA is going to be. There's a way to make that work. And I like Nicky as a person. I take those calls, man. I don't know how you don't get a better trade value.
And it sounds like they have taken.
And maybe the trade value is not there because somebody else sees Nicky the way you're like, oh, you know, he's a utility guy and this is how he fits, whatever. But take the calls. You have to. And Alec Lewis was reporting that they are.
Yeah, and so that's another name. Just add that to the list of names that have already kind of come up as we get closer to the trade deadline. This weekend and next week is when things will heat up quite a bit. I mean, look, we've seen plenty of years where it seemed as though the Royals were going to sell off quite a few guys, and there'd be four or five guys traded, and then they ended up trading one guy. There's been other years where you thought there'd only be one guy traded, and they ended up trading four guys away. So
You can make it for like eight on this roster if you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I would at this point, as things stand on July 20th, I would be surprised if there's not three guys.
10 days.
Three guys traded. If you add in what the bullpen arm options are there as well, in order to retain a few, but also maybe you move one or two pieces as well. Again, we'll talk with J.J. Piccolo coming up in 40 minutes. He'll join us at 11 o'clock. Royals vice president and assistant general manager. But there's now going to be an alternative option for those of you that maybe aren't happy with Monday Night Football and the current broadcast crew, or maybe you're just like, this is a blowout Monday Night Football. Why am I watching this game? It's in the third quarter and it's already an 18-point lead for some team out there. Well, now there's an alternative. ESPN announced that they're going to have Peyton Manning and Eli Manning on ESPN2 for 10 games each year for the next 3 years. Now, we don't know what the 10 games are. We were looking at the schedule. The Chiefs, week 8, I think it is. They play the Giants Monday night. Eli, I mean, come on. I mean, that has to be.
Seems like a logical fit.
Seems like that has to be an automatic game. I'm curious what this means for the main broadcast too, because this model to me is going to continue where in sports, because we've seen it, the mega cast for the college football playoff, the World Series or the home run derby, the StatCast.
I wish on I had ESPN watched
two.
That
yeah, if you watched ESPN2, you wouldn't have missed Salvador Perez. They would have actually talked about Salvador Perez during the home run derby. So these are not necessarily new or going away. I think this is kind of the new trend, especially with former athlete. I'm intrigued by it. I think there'll be some cool insight that we'll hear. And if there is a bad matchup or a blowout, I'll probably flip over to ESPN soon. Now, I'll be honest, that game that the Chiefs are playing on Monday Night Football, I'm going to want to listen to Mitch Holthus or watch the main broadcast on ESPN. That's just for Chiefs games. I like to be locked in that way. That's just me. Now, I might DVR the ESPN2 feed and go back and see what was said and what's interesting. I think some people will choose that over the regular ESPN. I just think this is another alternative that you have to get creative with options when it comes to broadcasting. And ESPN has found a way to get Eli Manning and Peyton Manning together. They're going to broadcast from their house, essentially.
Peyton is a good businessman. They offered him this job. He's been offered other broadcasting jobs. Like, I don't want to work that much. Just let me knock out like 5 episodes of Peyton's Place. And then, 10 games I want to do from my living room. I don't know if you read the details. He doesn't even have to do them from the city they're in. It's like, from various locations, which probably means occasionally his basement and probably means occasionally like the house of one of his rich friends or, whatever it's going to be.
Family's
like
on a vacation. We'll just go ahead and do this from Colorado.
Or we're
going
to go to Eli's house. Yeah, so we can all do that. I'm just going to schedule it around there so my whole family can take this trip. It's not as much prep as what a normal broadcast would be, because it's only 10, so you're only traveling not quite a little more than every other week, but close to that, because it's 10 out of 17 weeks. Like, it's a perfect setup. If I were the Monday Night Football crew, I'd be pissed.
Steve Levy, Louis Riddick.
I don't think that broadcast is perfect yet. I still feel like it's missing some element. I really like Louis Riddick. I still think it's missing some element on their broadcast, although it's better than probably the previous iteration. But it's, like, I'd be mad. You're like, why you got to put me up against myself? Like, hey, Spec tells us, hey, guys, we're going to do on 1660, we're going to put a show on. We're going to give them the exact same rundown as you. So same topics. Still going to be Chiefs, Royals, and all that. We're just going to put them on the exact opposite time. She's like, what the hell? We work together. We're a team. Why would you do that to me? That's how I think I would feel on that end. But this is also clearly where broadcasting is heading. It's probably good for the field because there's just more jobs available. But these mega cast things, they typically give them to coaches and athletes and all that stuff.
Yes, when you said more jobs available, I'm like, I don't know if there's really more jobs available other than maybe some behind-the-scenes people, because it is going to be former athletes for the most part. And he's going to bring in different guests, which is going to be cool. It's trying to attract a little bit of a younger audience and for people that have viewed the Monday Night Football product as stale. And it'll help Monday Night Football in general this year because they at least have the flex scheduling. So that'll help solve some of the issues Monday Night Football has had. But I'm just curious what the ratings will be, the split. They'll combine the ratings, and so that's how they'll judge it. But still, how many people are actually going to take advantage of the ESPN2 option? I think Peyton Manning will be terrific in this casual setting. I'm sure there'll be some great insight that'll be learned for people that are also kind of really wanting to learn more about the game and kind of that angle, much like StatCast. I'm sure it'll be a little more football-centric kind of than even the normal strict play-by-play will be. It'll be a little bit more insight into what the quarterback's thinking. And so it'll be an option for me where, hey, it's the second half and it's a blowout. And I'm like, I still want to watch the game, but all right, I'll flip over and listen to Peyton and Eli and whoever else they got in there.
No, I'm fascinated by it because Peyton has a different perspective. We know that from just if you've ever watched his commentary on multiple things. He's had comments about Mahomes or whatever. He has a different view of it than, you know, Steve Levy or Lewis Riddick. It doesn't mean a wrong view. I don't like this idea that, well, you didn't play the sport, so you can't understand it. I don't think it works that way. I just think you have a different perspective of the sport based on those things and those interactions that you've had over the course of those times. Plus, Peyton Manning is entertaining. Eli's all right. Like, I think put with him, he'll be better. He's not as good as Peyton is on those things, but it'll be all right. And you know that they'll have a lot of fun with it. I don't see any reason why this is harmful overall. I just think that, you know, the one sport that seemingly hasn't switched to this yet is probably baseball. They did that for the StatCast, but they haven't, you know, the World Series, they haven't done like huge alternate broadcasts. They're leaning
I think
towards
for
that,
the leagues like the NBA and baseball, where you've got so many games, either 162 or what, 82 for the NBA, they're not gonna be able to give as, you know, you're not gonna be able to do it on every broadcast. But we've seen the NBA even through
playoffs and World Series,
and through virtual, or even some of the virtual reality type stuff where you can have the VR headsets on. The NBA's kind of gotten all over and that they've done that more than any of the other leagues, where it seems as though you're sitting courtside at a Lakers game from your couch. Cody, you've got that VR headset. You can hop that thing on and act like you're sitting courtside next to Jack Nicklaus.
The only time I'm going to be sitting courtside at a Lakers game, probably.
Yeah, something like that. So we'll see. I think it's kind of intriguing, and we'll find out what the schedule is and what games. But I can probably say we can bank on that Eli Manning, Peyton Manning combo week 8 when the Chiefs are on Monday Night Football against the Giants. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, are there more or even less options now in that 2022 rotation for the Royals?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So Ryan somehow is still in the building. I don't know why he hasn't left yet. He decided to come in studio to let us know there's new paper towels in the building.
They look absorbent.
He looks so happy. He looks so happy right now. And now he's looking for a trash can.
It's always on Binkley's side for his dip.
Who knew? New paper towels. It's a big day here at Odyssey.
Well, I probably gotten the lights fixed in the bathroom first, but look, let's take our wins where we can get them. It's been dark in there for months.
I don't know what's going on.
There's like some lights out or something.
It has been dark. We're actually, some buildings will purposely be dark. You know, we're conserving energy. That's what I'm going to say we're doing. New policy. Yeah, where it's like smart. The lights. We don't need to have all the lights on in the building. Let's be very green and everything like that. We'll get to the rotation options for 2022 and just like based on what we've seen so far here in 2021, do you feel like you're in better shape or worse shape? But today we were actually watching before the show started today. It's the second rocket to go up into space. I know there's controversy if it's like actually going to space or not. In the last week, it was Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic. Today was Jeff Bezos and Blue Origin. They went up to space. You guys seemed like you weren't going to watch it. I was like, we got to watch this thing. It's like 5 minutes till launch.
I thought we had a random question once where I asked you if you'd go to space, and you seemed more hesitant I'd go tomorrow. I attended the deadline.
This is why
they're like, hey, Cody, tomorrow we got a spot on the ship. Do you want up? Like, absolutely I do. And I probably shouldn't because I got kids and stuff, so there should be some like personal responsibility. But
this is different, though. So I think when you asked the question, it was going to space and maybe being up there for 2 weeks or a month or whatever.
Sure.
No, I'm out on that. What for time and too many things can go wrong. What's interesting about these commercial flights, at least eventually maybe will become commercial flights once you maybe somehow become a billionaire.
Versus pay $23 million, which was the going rate to sit next to Bezos on this one.
Is you're going up to the edge of space, essentially, and you're up, you feel weightlessness, it's dark, and then you come back down, and I could do the show, be done at 2, take my flight at 5, and be ready to go the next morning for the show and not miss a beat. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that. The weightlessness feeling is all I want out of the whole thing. I will say from a week ago.
That's all you're trying to get out of.
Yeah,
this thing
doesn't count. You got to go to the moon or it doesn't count.
Oh, no. See, there's some people
I want to be in space for a bit.
You are in space, but there's some people that don't believe it's actually going to space. If it all of a sudden gets dark out and I see a star and I feel weightlessness, I'm in space and I'm going to make sure you all know that I went to space.
You know when people go to Europe and they say, well, you got to go for at least a week?
It's like you can go to space for five minutes?
Yeah.
It's like you went to Amsterdam, but you were in the airport. You didn't go to Amsterdam. You were in their airport. It's a very different scenario.
Millions and millions of people have been to the airport, though. Not millions of people have been to space or the edge of space. Second question.
Because we watched it because you had it pulled up. I wasn't going to watch it. I didn't think about it or whatever. Although, as a special treat today, because of this, we actually have new moon lessons from Ned Yost coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. So you can stay tuned for that. Not just did he school me a couple years ago, but we've got a new moon lesson from him, which I'll eventually do as a social media series because I've got, I don't know, like 38 minutes of audio with him. Ned likes to talk about the moon. Second question about the flight. Does your spaceship in the future commercial stuff have to look like a penis? Or is that an option that you choose? Because
Bezos looked
a lot like a penis. We're going to admit that, right? Like you almost had to design it to look that way.
It was, rockets all have a similar shape. This one, it seemed to be very specifically related to the male anatomy.
Mushroom top.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was definitely more toward the male anatomy than some of the other options. I will say too, the Virgin Galactic flight from Branson last week, that one seems like the way to go, does it not? It looks like you're in a plane. You land on the runway. The one today from Blue Origin, you're in a pod and you have a parachute attached to you and they land in the middle of the desert. I don't know about if we're going to be real and just trying to make it as easy as possible. I'll get the option that I just land like a normal plane on the way down. The wings separated when they went up to space and then they came back together, which is crazy.
That's like Iron Man suit. That's incredible.
I think it's all cool. I just think overall it's amazing. And I told you, you can enter. There's a contest to get two free seats.
What's it cost?
It's free to enter the contest.
Ooh.
You got to at least enter your name in it, right?
Sure.
Not going to win, of course.
Me and a
not.
Guest. Probably not going to be you.
Can it be Cody and Gold to space?
I mean, I guess that's better for the show.
The only show that's ever been to space.
I got
to
offer
sports
it.
Talk shows
I got to offer to the wife first. There's no out there. I got to offer it. I don't think she would take
have
it.
That, you better have that will good to go. If you're both going to space.
Why
can't
it go that way?
If you're
that
both,
is bleak.
You both can't go at the same time. You've got kids. I don't have anybody. It doesn't matter.
I'll will them to you.
Imagine Cody gets home. What'd you do today? I went to space, and you didn't even invite me?
Well, no, he's got to invite the wife, but then she's
going
to
going to turn it down because of the kids. You know how this works. And then I'm really open. I'm assuming.
I don't know who I would take, honestly. I don't
it's
know.
It's got to be a brother, right? I got a sister. I got to take a sibling.
Take my brother-in-law?
Or you my got a twin dog?
My twin sister, the first twins to go
a
to space?
Twin.
The
Shouldn't
first
you
twins
twin?
To go to space?
I like that he was thinking really hard about it. He has a twin sister. That seems like a normal sibling. Do you have to decide between them? You have a twin. You have a copy of yourself.
Well, I mean.
It's not identical. I get it.
Yeah, it's, I wouldn't go that far. But. Yeah, probably would have to take the twin sister.
I think that feels like
that's
the logical choice.
That's probably it.
Bezos took the oldest person to be in space and the youngest person to be in space. You should probably be, I don't know if you'd be the
that's
first
what's
twins
amazing.
In space, but probably.
There was like an 85-year-old that went up. So if you're wondering if you're healthy enough, you're going to the edge of space, so you're good. You
85, can, I don't care if I'm healthy enough. If I die on my space trip, whatever. I'm 85. I'd be more worried about
yeah,
being the youngest
but
guy.
Typically,
in space.
Back when like NASA was involved, you were legitimately going all the way into space. You had, you know, you gotta go through all this testing to make sure you're healthy enough. For this, it sounds like it's not as you know, not as strict. Someone says, I can go to Branson and fly to space.
Do you have to have a passport to go to space?
You do not.
Well, it's open territory, man. You got to just get up there and start planting flags like Eddie Izzard. Just start claiming the moon and stuff. This is mine. There's nothing you can do about it. You don't get to claim it. It's the moon. It's mine now.
You thought that construction worker that put a Chiefs flag under the Raiders stadium was cool. Wait till I put a Chiefs flag up in space.
I don't feel like you were. I still feel like they got to be in. I want to be in space.
They
longer.
Were in. Longer. Okay.
Longer. Because you can get the weightlessness thing. They do flights on that where they just like fly you up and down to create the weightlessness at a certain altitude without going in space. So you can get the weightlessness without even being in space.
The short trip is actually the intriguing part to me. I don't want to be up there for weeks. I that's the great thing.
I'd be like a
take
week.
Off at 2 o'clock and I'm back on the ground on Earth at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's perfect. That's shorter than a flight to Vegas. That's great.
We've officially been talking about their space trip longer than they were even in space.
This is accurate.
I can't get over the, hey, I need a spaceship, but you know how like they kind of already look like a penis? More like a penis.
Jeff
Maximum
Bezos.
Penis. That's what he decided he wanted in his spaceship. Good for him, I guess. You do you.
You don't actually mean that. You don't actually mean that. For Bezos.
It's so ridiculous. The idea of being so rich that you're just like, you know, I'm bored. I'm going to build a rocket ship. Take myself to space.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it's so ludicrous.
Right now, it's just a bunch of billionaires that are having
fun.
You
wear a cowboy hat, you're like, oh, God. Well, I'd probably wear a cowboy hat, too, though. Let's face reality. I'd wear something ridiculous.
Who's the first athlete, do you think, that's going to try to go to space? Because we were talking earlier, you probably got to be retired. They're not going to let you. They don't let you ride a motorcycle. They're not going to let you go to space under your contract. Mahomes not going to be allowed to go to space under his contract.
Post-play, Magic Johnson.
I mean, that's a strong candidate, actually.
That's my guess.
You got to be filthy
Lock
rich.
Me in. Yeah. Lock me in. Magic Johnson. Filthy rich.
LeBron. Magic.
Retired.
Yeah, it's those are two names at the very top of the list. And then if you're just going, you know, celebrity in general, like I would probably be talking Jay-Z or somebody like that.
Yeah, that's probably it.
We'll get to the trash of the day coming up in about 6 minutes or so. We'll also be joined in 20 minutes by J.J. Piccolo, Royals vice president and assistant general manager. We'll ask him why now is the right time for Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado to make their debut up in AAA. And they'll be making their debut in less than 20 minutes up in Omaha. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. But for next year, and hopefully Bobby Witt Jr. certainly is a huge part of 2022. On the pitching end, though, there's a couple guys still in AAA right now that once were up in the big leagues for a short trip would be Daniel Lynch and Jackson Kowar. So if you look at the option for 2022, is it more complicated than ever for you if you were to go through and re-rank the options for 2022 and then even for that the long-term options? Because I still think the way things are at right now, if you're talking about next year, either Mike Minor or Danny Duffy, who's a free agent and might even be traded, I think right now you're still looking at having one of those veteran guys in there based on what we've seen to this point on Kowar and Lynch.
Now.
Because of if Kowar and Lynch would have come up and still been up in the big leagues and rolling, then that's a different story. There's a chance one of those guys might start still next season in the bullpen. depending on what they do when eventually they get called up again.
You're a lock for Keller. It doesn't really matter what happens for the rest of this year. They're going to put him in the starting rotation next year. They're not going to, after 3 years of successful starting pitching, they're not going to take that one bad year and say, you're a bullpen arm now. You were hopeful that, like, if it ever came to that with Keller, that he was getting shoved down by so many great starters, there was just no choice, like David Price in L.A., right? We got so many starters, we're going to pay a guy $200 million to be a bullpen arm. Not that they pay Keller that. But I just don't think you have to count on, I think you already know three. I think Keller, Singer, and like you said, let's call him veteran to be determined.
Yeah.
It might be Minor, it might be Duffy, it might be...
To be determined.
To be determined. But that's three. So then, this is why I'm still semi-optimistic that you can have a pretty good rotation for next year. Because now I really am still just counting on Lynch, Coar, Carlos Hernandez, Asa Lacy.
Asa Lacy's a tough one right now. He's too far down in the system to be factoring into next year's rotation.
So I think he'll be in Double A by the end of this year, which means he's going to be in either Double or Triple A to start next year, which to me means he's a stone's throw away, especially because he's a college pitcher. They'll move him a little bit faster. And we can ask JJ Piccolo in 20 minutes what that'll look like anyway. But even if you're just giving him that, really, I'm just looking for a couple of those guys to come in. If you made me guess right now what the rotation will be next year, Keller, Singer, Minor would be my guest. Daniel Lynch, because I still think them, and by the way, Bubich, I didn't even mention on here.
Yeah, I just wonder, is he a bullpen guy? He's looked very good in relief out of the bullpen, long relief.
Lynch, because they called him up first, and they chose to start him over Bubich, they chose to start him over Junis, they chose to start him all those guys. And sleeper pick for me? Hernandez. I think he's going to find his way into the rotation, and Coar and Bubich and those guys are going to be the bullpen guys that we're talking about beyond there while they wait for the other arms behind those arms to come up. It's sad because for as many arms as we were talking about that they had, it's not as much like wiggle room as you'd want. You're like, well, I need two of those four to turn out. You're like, I need it to be more 2 of 10. But we're not at that point anymore because they don't have the kind of depth based on the way these guys are performing so far.
I think some of it is just the reality of usually how this stuff goes. If you have four pitchers it's pretty rare that four of them even make it to the big leagues. Now, they spent significant draft resources in 2018. We all know that on starting pitching. But there's plenty of situations where you'll do this and only one or two will even make it to the big leagues. It seems like that's not going to be the problem here with this group. The question will be how many of them are starters. All four of them are not going to be starters. There's a very good chance the way things are looking right now, unfortunately, you would have liked that one of them would be a stud ace, and even if the rest were all bullpen, it'd be successful, by the way. If one was
an ace
and the rest were bullpen guys. It doesn't appear that any of them are that. It's not over yet.
Does not appear
between Singer and Bubich that either one of those are the answer of that. Right,
of ace? No, yeah. They both have a potential to be a mid-tier starter.
Lynch and Coar, we're talking three outings, but you know things need to pick up when they get called back up this next time. They have to have success right away.
Yeah, I don't want to make any determination on them really at all, but sure.
But overall, people are acting surprised that out of the four guys that have been called up, that like all four of them aren't going to pan out. Like,
I just thought
normal.
One might.
Yeah. And so that's the frustration. And I think for next year's rotation, yeah, Keller, I don't know who the hell is going to be the opening day starter, whatever, that's next year, but Keller.
Ooh, man, you want to place bets on that now?
No, thanks. I'm good. I don't need to go down that road. It's July of 2021. I'm good.
Keller.
I'm good. Singer. This is already farther. This is already pretty far out anyway.
Whoever pitches well in September.
Keller, Singer, Lynch, and then, yeah, Minor or a veteran. I think Duffy still has a chance to come back to this team because, again, whether he's traded or not, he is a free agent. And then Carlos Hernandez is so intriguing. And how does he look in the rest of this year?
I want to see
him
as a starter.
You know, he had a nice outing the other day against the Orioles. You know, I think he continues to get better, hopefully, with some of his command. His pitch count got up there quick, and so he wasn't able to go as far into the game as anybody would have liked. But he's very intriguing. I think he's intriguing to the organization. So that's kind of where I'm at. Bubich, I'm just so torn on him because is he a bullpen guy? I think ultimately if you were to say, hey, Gold, you got to decide where do you think Bubich will be a year or two from now, and I would probably say he's a bullpen guy.
But that's the problem, is that if I give you this list individual and for the next 5 days, we're like, let's preview all the future starters and you tell me what they are. Like, all right, today we're going to do Chris Bubich. And we took calls. It'd be 75% people say bullpen. I said, all right, let's do Brady Singer. If you remember, like some of the original reporting on him is that people projected him into the bullpen when he was drafted. 75% of the callers would be like bullpen because he just got shelled in his last outing. and maybe it'd be 60% because they've seen Brady Singer have success. And then Coar because he was bad, or Lynch because he's bad. They still actually, someone in this grouping is going to be the starter out of this group. And I still think it makes sense that it's Singer, Lynch. To me, it's now Hernandez, and it could be Coar versus Lynch or whatever. Those two guys are the real toss-up for me because they're stuck. I don't know. They're stuck until somebody proves they can actually be a consistent starter. And they don't have a single guy in their rotation right now you can say that about. Duffy's been the closest, and he's a free agent. So unless you're planning on giving him another extension right now or giving him a contract after you trade him away, it's dire times.
We'll talk to J.J. Piccolo in about 12 minutes, Royals general manager, vice president. We'll get his thoughts on some of these young pitchers, and certainly Bobby Witt Jr. and Nick Prado, who will make their AAA debut coming up at 11 o'clock in Omaha. But right now, let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. I'm going to need your help on this one because I have no clue. I saw this story, but I have no clue what show they are talking about. I thought it was a funny story, but American kids apparently watch so much Peppa Pig.
Yeah, Peppa.
Okay.
Don't watch Peppa Pig.
During the pandemic, that they developed British accents and started regularly using British words like holiday instead of vacation and go on holiday.
My kids like
their
Peppa Pig.
Confusing their parents. Have your kids, so let me start there. Have your kids started saying, hey, Dad, we had fun on holiday in Colorado?
No, but this is not surprising at all if you know anything about kids, because they'll eventually learn any of the habits from anything they watch or you do regularly. Anyway, first they're like Cockney pigs, right? Like, hello, I'm Peppa. They talk like that.
Is that
right?
Really how it is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very silly.
Oh, absolutely no. It is. So on top of it, you're getting like, you know, you're getting like full-blown Cockney pigs out of all of this stuff anyway. But like, I'm like Desmond, he's 2.5, right? He'll be 3 in a month or so. He said the F word the other day. And the Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's which one?
The almost 3-year-old.
The 3-year-old?
The 5-year-old fell the other day and said, what the hell happened to me? I was like, well, we can't have you saying that. I'm going to need to dial all of my cursing back because it's clearly starting to filter into the children. And it's more, my wife, you know, she certainly is not, not guilty of saying a curse word, but certainly not as guilty of it as me. So to find out if your kids are watching a lot of Peppa that all of a sudden they're starting to say holiday, that does not shock me in any way.
Are you tossing around expletives pretty liberally at the house?
A little too, probably, liberally, if we're being honest for a minute. I don't know. We grew up in a household like that. Like, I don't think my mom ever pulled back on that. We were never in trouble for saying curse words. It's shocking that I guess I'm better on the air than I am about saying it, but it's a pretty regular part of my everyday vocabulary outside of this show. These 4 hours are really the least amount I curse by a wide margin in my day. I correct him. I'm like, you can't say that word.
What does he say after that?
He just seems like, all right, whatever.
Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Just to be clear, if you want to know what my eventual stance is going to be on this, is like, do not say that in a place that's going to get you in trouble. Like, if he's in fifth grade and he drops drops the F word at home, I'm not going to have some giant freak out about it. But he drops it in school and now he's causing me problems.
You know that's going to happen, right?
Then we got a problem.
Like, and this, the teacher is judging you.
I can go on the radio and not say F words all day. I'm going to need you to just, you know, handle your business while you're at school.
You know that's going to happen.
So we're not
right?
running into problems later.
Your eventual, you know, 9-year-old is not going to be able to have the same restraint as, you know, 37-year-old Cody Tapp on a radio show.
By the time I was like middle or high school and I was regularly using curse words, I didn't use them at school. It's very respectful.
I can't wait for the story when your kid's like 8 and slips up at kindergarten or whatever, however old kindergartners are. 6, 8? I don't know what the age is for that.
My daughter's 5 and she'll be in kindergarten this year.
I don't know. I don't have kids. I have no idea. I have no idea.
That's not even
six.
Close.
6, 8? Is eight second grade?
Kid once.
Is 8? Yeah, but I don't remember the age.
I mean, do the math. She's 5 in kindergarten. 6 for first grade. 7
I didn't know
for second grade.
I didn't know the starting point,
though.
I didn't know the starting point.
She's
kindergarten,
when she's
6th grade?
3rd grade.
I said 6 or 8.
Did you go to school?
No. Not at all. No.
8 just seems so old for kindergarten. How?
Yeah.
Please tell me you weren't in kindergarten when you were 8, because I'm going to be worried about how many times you were held back growing up.
I need the starting point for it, and then I'm good. Okay.
Yeah, 5, I think. I mean, I assume that's for most kids. She'll be in kindergarten this year. She's 5. That's all I know.
I don't have any kids. How the hell am I supposed to know?
You were a kid.
Yeah,
I assume that's our basis of knowledge.
But I'm supposed to know when I was five, I'm supposed to know that now?
It's just simple math. It's one number.
But you got to know where it starts.
Well, just think like 18 when you were graduating high school, because that's most people's age, and then backtrack the number of years you were in school.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, that just seems like
pretty rudimentary stuff.
It was just funny you jumped to eight. If you just said six, we wouldn't even have been joking about this. But you said six or eight. You're like eight.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's quite a bit older for a kindergartner. No, it's not surprising to me that kids would use British words. I like them to...
Peppa Pig?
I'm pretty...
Peppa Pig.
The other rule is I mostly just talk to my kids like they're regular people. Like, I don't try to...
Like they're regular people.
I don't try to sugarcoat it or, you know... We didn't do a lot of baby talk when they were babies either. Neither of us. I just talk to them, like, even when they're confused. Like, when he's two, I'm like, why would you do that? He's like, I'm like, come on, man. You got to do it. You got to be better than this. Like, you can't say F words. You know that. He's like, oh, like... Work with me here. You're two. We got to find the one before that. That's probably his first. I don't remember any other time that he's cursed to this point, but
that seems really young for the first curse word.
You want to make me feel even worse. My kid the other day, I was drinking a beer, the 5-year-old. She said, "Hey, are you drinking beer?" I said, "Yeah, I am." Said, "Can I taste it?"
Oh.
And I did like the pinky in the beer. Gave her a little taste.
Okay.
Just, you know, like, and she went, "Pour some in my cup."
Oh.
It's like, get out of here. No. Whoa.
Got a drinking buddy now.
Pour some in my cup.
So what did you say then?
No. I shot it out. I said, "No, you don't get to drink beer. No.
Get your own."
So you want water?
There's some in the fridge. Go get
milk or juice. This is my beer. No, I just said, no, we're not doing that. She doesn't have the hand dexterity to.
Now I'm curious. What kind of beer were you drinking?
I don't remember. I think it was. I honestly don't. I think it was. I'm trying to think what kind it was. I don't know. I don't. I've got a good variety at home. I don't recall. Let's just call it a Miller Lite for the sake of argument, because that's easier.
The kindergartner wants a glass full of beer.
She said, "Pour some in my cup." She got over it. She didn't like get mad. I'm like, "No, I'm not going to pour into your cup." All right. Well, fine. She wasn't going to drink a whole... There's no way she was going to...
She's waking up in the middle of the night. She's just trying sneaking to sips.
She likes to cheers and stuff, right? So she has her cup full of water. She likes to, you know...
Just get her some root beer.
She'll say prost.
Get her root beer.
Clink glasses.
Does she like root beer? Just get her root beer. Then she can have a glass bottle when you're drinking out of a glass bottle. It'd be good. Sounds like great parenting to me. Seems like a great thing to do.
Crushing it.
Coming up next, Royals assistant general manager and vice president J.J. Piccolo going to join us. We'll ask him what the timeline is now for Bobby Witt Jr. to make it to the big leagues.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!